You don't have to get your Bible out unless you want to, but I just want to read a couple passages to you. So I'm going to be jumping around a little bit. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, when God created the earth and he created mankind, it says God blessed them and God said to them, and you can read it this way, he gave a command, be fruitful and multiply. He didn't say, hey, I suggest to you that it would be a good idea if you were fruitful and multiplied. He said, no, be fruitful and multiply. When there was darkness that covered the face of the earth, the Bible says God spoke. His word pierced the darkness and light came. In John 1:1 it says Jesus was with God. Jesus was the Word. Jesus is the Word. And when God spoke, Jesus being the Word, when he appeared on the earth, he was light that made darkness flee. When Jesus left this earth, he said, we are his body and we are a city set on a hill. We are light. So as we walk on this earth, when we're in our families, in our houses, in our jobs, at the store, we are light coming into darkness. We are to be climate changers, amen, not climate adapters. Where there's heaviness, where there's spiritual darkness, where there's oppression, where there's depression, where there is light, we are to be light that makes the darkness flee. But the reality of it is, too often, we come in and we adapt to our situations. Come on, I want to speak some faith into you this morning. Because that's not who God called you to be. That's not who God called me to be. To adapt, be a chameleon and adopt the colors and the attitudes and adapt to the darkness that's around us. Just because things in our lives, things in our cities, things in our families, things in the nation are the way they are doesn't mean they have to stay that way. Just because you may have sickness in your body and an infirmity you may have had since birth doesn't mean it has to stay that way. Amen. And in Genesis 1:28, I'm not mad, I'm passionate, just so to let you know. I'm not mad. Over the years, I've had people come up, why are you so mad? I'm not mad. I'm just passionate about certain things. God spoke in Genesis 1:28, or the word, the Bible says, God blessed them, said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. And here's where I want to get to. It says, subdue it. Subdue the earth. Rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And then the next chapter, what happened was something that moved across the earth came to man. And instead of subduing and ruling over, man submitted to it. And the same issue and the same problem is happening today. We are submitting to things where we should be ruling over them. Matthew chapter 28 is basically Jesus saying again what God said in Genesis chapter 1:28. He said, guys, look, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Then he said, go and make disciples. We looked at that last week. Of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. In Mark chapter 16, when he was giving a commission, he said, go, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. When he sent the 12 out, he told them the same thing. He said, go, heal the sick, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Both times, when he sent the 12 out and when he sent the 70 out. What you have received, give away. There's a command for us to be fruitful, to multiply, to give what God has given to us. He's told us to go and lay hands on the sick to recover. I must be in the wrong church. I'm not sure. I usually come here on Sunday morning to this address. He told us. What if I was an owner? Anna, would you help me out here? We'll just kind of do this on the spot. If I owned a business, let's say it was a big business and we had many different departments, and I hire Anna to be my shipping and receiving clerk. She's going to run the shipping and the receiving department of my company. I hire for that purpose. I've told her what she is to do. I've given her an employee handbook. Come on. Her instructions are in the employee handbook. I've told her we will have regular meetings. Questions you have, you can ask. But this is your department, and I am giving you the authority. Here's your title: shipping and receiving manager, clerk, whatever it might be. I want you, you've got 30 employees. They're sitting right here. This is what I want. You take authority. And I go back to my office, and Anna goes to take authority. Whatever. Yes. We briefly talked about this, but mine's on. What did I hire you for, Anna?
Maybe you're the one with the power. You're God.
I gave it to you. What did I hire you for?
Well, I did my job. I saw what was wrong. And so now I need you to come through and take care of it.
So you want me to do your job?
Yeah.
That's what you're asking me to do. I'm paying you to do a job, but you're wanting me to do it.
Yeah.
Is that right? Thank you. Thank you very much. She's good. Can we just be honest? How often does that happen in the body of Christ, in the church? God has already told us what he wants us to do. But we continue to pray and wait for God to do it when he's already commanded us to do it. Can we get a little more personal? Because I want to pray for physical healing here in just a minute. How many of you, like me, have done this in the past or even recently? God, if it's your will to heal me, heal me. Or have done this. You got a coworker, somebody in your family, whatever. Russell, play that part for just a second. He's not feeling good. And I ask him, Russ, would you like for me to pray for you? And he says, yes, I'm going to answer for him. And then I go, God, would you please heal him? Now, stay with me for a second, because I'm not saying that that is always wrong, but I want to ask you a question. When did Jesus ever heal somebody like that?
Never.
He never came to somebody and said, God, if it's your will, would you do this? He didn't even say, Father, would you please set this guy free? Did he? But we do that. We even have Bible for him telling us that he's given us authority. Now, we have to stay connected in right alignment with the Lord, because Jesus said this. He never did anything that he didn't see his Father do. He never said anything that he didn't already hear his Father say. And what many Christians like to do is they have their desires and they want to speak using their own authority. I command you to do this and command this to happen and that to happen, and they never really heard it from God. That's not faith. That's at least presumption. We need to hear what God has to say, and then we say what God says, because our authority comes from him. It doesn't originate with us. I can't make anything happen. I can't speak to anything and anything else change unless I hear what God is saying first, because when God created the earth, he gave authority to man. This was a reason why Jesus had to come to be a man, because he gave authority to a man, to men. And unless we start understanding who we are, in our identity, get in right alignment with the Lord, hearing his voice, and start speaking to our situations, start speaking to our bodies, the bodies of others, start speaking to our city. I'm not just speaking what I'm saying here from a different position. I've done these things. For a long time, I would speak things that I wanted to happen, thinking God has given me authority to do it, and not ever paid attention to what God was really saying to me. I've been in the mindset before that the world's going to hell, our cities are going to hell, everything's going to get worse, and I'm just going to hold on because Jesus is coming back someday. There's no sense of praying about it. There's no sense of doing anything about it. I believe a lot of the church is in that position. And we've forgotten. We even have it written. He wrote it down for us. He said, you be fruitful, you multiply, you subdue the earth, you rule and reign. Jesus reminded us again when he went to heaven. He said, all authority's been given to me. Now, he didn't say this, all authority's been given to you and I. He said, all authority's been given to me, and in my authority, I am commanding you to go. And in your going, make disciples. We have an authority from God to make disciples. We have an authority from Jesus Christ to lay hands on people that are sick, to cast out demons, to cleanse the leper. We have authority from God. And we've got to step into our authority and begin hearing what God says so we can do what God, just like our little skit. We have bosses that we work for, teachers or parents. When we do what they say, we have their authority to get it done. When we get out of step with that and we start doing things our bosses haven't told us, our parents haven't told us, especially when it goes against their will, we get crosswise with that and we get in trouble, don't we? and we don't see the results that we're hoping for. How many of you are physically sick in your body or you have some kind of physical ailment? I'm raising my hand. I have two tears in the meniscus of this knee. This knee feels very similar to this knee, and I haven't had it looked at yet. So I'm thinking I've got some issues with that. Before this happened, I didn't even know what a meniscus was. Can barely spell it. But God created my meniscus to begin with. And he didn't create it with tears in it. So why would I think that the only way for me to be healed would be to get under the knife? I'm not saying that would be the wrong way. It's whatever God is saying. But he created it to begin with. Why can't he, the power, the authority, the ability from the words that he gives me or some of you to speak to see it happen? Words are so powerful. That's how the worlds were created, with words. God didn't get out a hammer and chisel. The only thing he was hands-on with is when he created man. Bible's plain about that. He fashioned. He got his hands involved in that. Everything else, he spoke a word. Jesus did the same thing. But sometimes he healed differently. Sometimes it was spit. Sometimes it was mud in the eye. Sometimes he just said, go and wash. Sometimes it was because of sin is why they were sick. Sometimes it was because of demonic oppression or depression that they were sick. And he brought freedom and liberty. Why do we think that he can't do that today? Why do we think that, and this is the greatest lie, one of the greatest lies of the devil, that the situation that you're in, as bad as it is, it's only going to get worse, it's not going to get better. Or at that very least, it'll never change, it's always going to be like that. I don't know about you, but I don't want to worship a God like that. I got better things to do on my Sunday morning than to worship a God that wants to keep me in a pit of hell until he comes back. He came the first time to rescue us. Amen. He came the first time to free us from sin and everything that keeps our bodies and our beings in a bondage. But we've got to learn that we've got authority. We've got to understand who we are. Real quick, before we pray, I was going to do this, but we probably don't have enough time. I wanted to talk this morning about who Jesus is, since we are celebrating his birthday in 13 days from today. But who he really is. Because the thing he was challenged on the most and what they killed him for were two things: who he was and the authority that he had. And the authority that he had was based on who he was. The greatest questions that they kept, who is this guy? Who are you and what authority are you doing the things that you do? And they killed him for it. These, as sons of God, these are the areas that we're going to be challenged with the greatest too. And we don't always get it from outside sources. We get it from within. Our thoughts are bombarded by demonic forces. Who do you think you are? You're a nobody. You're worthless. Who do you think you are? By what authority do you think you have? By speaking to your body, by speaking to the city, by speaking to your spouse, and by commanding things to change. Who do you think you are? We identify ourselves all the time by our occupations, by our cultural heritage. Did you know that Jesus, not one time is it recorded that Jesus said, "Hi, I'm Jesus the carpenter"? He never did it. You remember when he was in his own hometown? And they said, "Hey, isn't this Jesus the carpenter? The carpenter's son? Isn't his mother here and his sisters here? Who does he think he is?" See, those forces to always keep you down and limited to the world system and idea, to compress you into their mold. And if you're not careful, which I already think it's already happened in a great way, you begin to believe it. Hello? I'm just a carpenter. I'm just a motorcycle mechanic. I'm just a this. I'm just a housewife. I'm just. Who you are, your identity, has everything to do with the authority that God has given you. And when you know who you are and the authority that you have, because the three greatest questions are why, that all mankind has. Anybody know? Those of you that have been here for a length of time, you should be able to repeat this. I've said it 4 million and... Who am I? Why am I here? And where am I going? When you know who you are truly, once you get born again, that you've got the DNA of God on the inside of you, that you become a son or a daughter of God, that answers the other two questions. You know why you're here and where you're going. And the authority that you have. Do you know why I believe, in my belief, that most Christians do not walk in their inheritance and everything that God has given us? You know, 2 Peter chapter 1 says that God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness coming through the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. So everything has already been supplied to us, but we don't walk in it. One of the reasons I believe it's the greatest reason, if only, is because we don't know who we are. We don't know what happens to us when we truly get born again, when God's DNA is on the inside of us and you become royalty. We live like beggars. Can I just be plain? We do. We live like beggars. We beg God for healing. We beg God for food. We beg God for clothing. We beg God. Does anybody want to throw anything at me? I mean, just shoot. I left my habit. We're begging God when God says, look, I've already given it to you. I've given you these things. Come on, we've got to rise up in faith, not presumption, not foolishness, but what God has already said in his word and what he's speaking to us in our hearts, and begin saying it, whether we see it changed or not, that we keep saying it. You know what? You may have been praying for healing or asking for healing or confessing healing for weeks, months, or maybe ever years, and you haven't seen it and you've given up. Don't quit. God wants, you know the greatest thing God wants to do in us after we've been born again is to make us like him. Amen. To instill into us Christ-like a character, and part of that is patience and perseverance, that we're not going to quit, that we're not going to quit praying for our families, we're not going to quit praying for our city, we're not going to quit praying for the church to be united, we're not going to stop even though we don't see it, and we're not going to stop even when we start seeing it go the other way for a time. We're not going to stop. Amen. See, we can't quit, we can't give up. It's the only way a Christian, a son of God, can lose. Did you know that? It's the only way, is when we quit. You keep playing, you win. That's just, you cannot lose. Now, if you are sick in your body or you have some kind of physical ailment, and I do, I just want to ask you to stand up, please. If you would stand. Now, I'm going to ask some of you to go out on a limb. Those of you that aren't sick or hurt or anything like that, if you would go to those that are standing, and I want you to do something, maybe you've never done this before. I don't want you to ask God. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you already know the Word of God, what the Word of God says. Jesus went about doing good and healing what? A few of those? All of those. He came to bring healing. He has commanded us to go and lay hands on the sick. Now, I want to say this and just remind. Sometimes, when you lay hands on somebody and you say, Russ, your body be, whatever it is, ailment, whatever it is, and you're speaking to that, those who are being prayed for and those who are praying, be sensitive to what the Lord is saying. I mean, Jesus made a mud ball and put it in the guy's eyes. If Jesus didn't do that, the man would not have been healed. He may be speaking to you something to do in a faith response. We get trapped in the notion of thinking all we have to do is pray. Well, that's true. Prayer is communication. But God may say, hey, whatever. It might be something goofy. I don't know. Drink 4 glasses of water when you get home. The importance is hearing what God says and responding to what he says. I believe that's another reason why most of us don't get healed, is because we're just praying and just speaking, but we're not actually doing what he says to do next. And we think all we got to do is just the prayer part. And does that make sense? Is everybody with me? So those of you that are sitting down, would you please stand? And would you go to those that are standing and lay your hands on them? and pray, speak into them, speak over their bodies, whatever their ailment is. You can ask them. I know you might be uncomfortable doing this. Let's be men and women of faith and trusting what God says and speak.